Amen. Yeah, you can honk. Amen. Well, we are so glad that you joined us. Now, here's the thing. I know we have people from all over our community here. I know this is a New Hope event, and we wanted to do this for the whole community. So I welcome any of you here who are from other churches and other church families, and grateful that you're able to join us in this time of worship and learning and growing together and getting into the Easter message. All right, there I am. All right. And so we're grateful that you joined us. I just want to give a few shout outs real quick. I want to thank all the volunteers, those of you who came to help greet and make sure people are parked in the places. And so I just want to clap for you guys, and maybe you guys can honk for all those who came and helped and served. Absolutely. I do also want to give a shout out this morning to Nate Schindewolf, is the superintendent here at Triway, and he's a good friend of mine, and grateful for his willingness to say, yeah, let's do this here in the Triway parking lot. So thank you, Nate. Thank you for the Triway team and for supporting us, letting us be on the roof. And we haven't fallen through yet, so we're good. Now, if you don't know who I am, my name's Tim Broughton. I am the lead pastor at New Hope Church, and each week we bring a message that helps you understand what's going on in God's Word. And hopefully it's practical, something you can take home with you. And that's what we want to do this morning as we get into the Easter time. Now, I'm going to encourage you in your cars, those of you joining us online, have your Bibles open, okay? Maybe you have an app. You can grab the Bible app. You can use our New Hope app and get into your Bibles. We're going to be in Luke chapter 24. You can turn there, find Luke 24. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes, but wanted to give you a chance to find it and get there. Now, in this season, we're in a sermon series called Unexpected, which I think is pretty right on to where we're at right now, right? Like, we are talking about unexpected in the series Unexpected. We're talking about when things don't go the way we plan. And we're going to look at the Easter story, because all throughout the Easter story, there were things that were not going towards the disciples' plan. Things that went sideways, things that they weren't ready for. And we're going to learn from them how we can deal with where we're at right now in our community. Maybe some of the things that you are dealing with this morning and this week and during this season that we're in. Last week we talked about, it was Palm Sunday, but we talked about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. After Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead, they threw a party later at their house. And in that party, all of them are doing their things. And Mary, she anointed Jesus with this very expensive perfume. The scent filled the room and filled the place and probably stayed on Jesus a long, long time. And we saw that Mary's heart was soft towards Jesus. But there was another character in that story last week where Judas was in the room and he got ticked off and he had his own plan for what should have been done with that. And he had a hard heart towards Jesus. And so my prayer from last week into this week is that all of us may have a soft heart for what Jesus wants to say to us this morning. We want to hear from him, and we want to receive something from him this morning. So as we talk about unexpected, who loves good unexpected things, right? Those unexpected moments that are really good, that show up, right? And maybe during this season, that unexpected thing, it might be like a video call or a FaceTime from a friend, just checking in and seeing how you're doing. And maybe it's you being able to FaceTime with a family member that you can't go and visit, but at least you can have somewhat of a face-to-face conversation, right? Those are good, unexpected things that can happen. Or you get a card in the mail from someone just saying they're thinking about you. Or maybe some just good, unexpected things happen. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, where you put on a clean pair of jeans and you reach in your pocket and there's this crispy, crunchy $5 bill. Yeah, that's going to be a good day, right? Yeah. Those are good unexpected things. And during Easter, right, there's unexpected things for a lot of the kids. Easter baskets might show up. Some people give gifts to their kids on Easter, and they get these big surprises. And those are good unexpected things that happen. See, here at Easter, though, there are two divine things that I want to talk about this morning. I mean, things that came from heaven above. One, we're going to talk about in a little bit. But the other one at Easter, something that was absolutely divinely inspired, that is always a great unexpected gift at Easter, is the Reese's peanut butter egg. Can I get an amen? Can I get a, all right? Are you with me? Every year I always, like, somebody in the church always, like, gives me a whole package of them, so then I eat them for the next week or day or hour, or they just go quick, right? It's like the most, I'm telling you, that's from heaven. Whoever came up with that, that was angelic, and God brought a good unexpected thing in that, right? But during this season, though, we have bad unexpected things, right? Things that we didn't plan for that are not good. And for some of us, whether it was a pandemic or not, all of us go through things that are unexpected that are bad. Maybe it's a job loss. Income disappears. It could have been a doctor's appointment that you didn't realize was going to go south by the end of the conversation. It could be an illness in the family. Or maybe even a bad unexpected thing for some of us is maybe we have a little too much time with our families, right? Like just that. I don't know if any of you are driving each other nuts yet if you're stuck in your house. It doesn't happen in the Broughton household, only every other day, right? Like maybe that's one of the things, you know, the bad unexpected things. During this season, I know there's a lot of people that get into spring and it's sports. And like sports is a really big part of families and what they do as families. And there's a loss there, right? You don't get to do the normal things or group activities or clubs or the big thing that we know we're all in is nobody expects a world pandemic. These are bad, unexpected things that affect everything that we do. And I want to talk this morning, and if you've got your worship program out, those of you who are joining us online on Facebook, on YouTube, write down these things. Take some notes, okay? Because this is the first fill in the blank for those of you who have the worship program. You want to write this down. The problem is with every bad, unexpected thing, there are three things behind it, right? Behind every unexpected thing, there is what we feel, there is what is real, and there's what brings lies and confusion. Tracking me? With me there? What brings, or behind every unexpected thing, there's what we feel. There's emotions attached to everything we're going through right now. There's what is real, meaning there's truth out there. There's really what's actually going on. There's truth. And then there's what brings lies and confusion. That last one is the one that ticks me off the most in our culture right now. Probably in the last 4 or 5 years, fake news has been a big deal, right? Everybody talks about fake news and what's real news and da 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 da. If you are listening to something that continually brings you fear, anxiety, and worry, most likely it is not from God. God does not create fear, confusion, anxiety, and worry in our lives. And so if we are listening and watching things that are continually bringing that emotion to the front, it means we're not listening to truth. We're probably listening to some lies. I don't know how many conspiracy theories are out there right now with all sorts of stuff driving me nuts. I'm not going to get into it. Maybe I will. No, I won't. All right, I'm not going to do it. But the problem is, no matter what, in unexpected things, that's what's going to be created. What we feel, what is real, and what brings lies and confusion. See, what you look at is what you will see, and what you see will affect what you feel, right? What you look at is what you see, and what you see will affect what you feel. And right now, so many of the things we're experiencing are based upon what we feel, what we feel. We want to bring some truth to light. We want to experience some truth in this season. See, we're going to look at the Easter story in Luke chapter 24. And in Luke 24, we see the disciples. We're experiencing the exact same things we are going through today in our culture. They were experiencing fear and worry and anxiety and all sorts of things. When you look at Luke chapter 22 and 23, we go back to Friday. Friday was a bad day for the disciples. See, they had a plan. They had a plan for Jesus. They were fallen because they saw him do miracles and they believed he was going to be the Messiah that they all prayed for and waited for. And they had expectations of what Jesus was going to do for them and for all the Jews to bring this new kingdom into place. Well, Friday, when Jesus was arrested, he was dragged through the city, he was abused, he was tortured, and then he was crucified. Nails through his wrists, through his feet, hung up on a cross, and he died. The disciples didn't plan on that. They were confused. They were worried. They had all sorts of emotions, what they felt during that season. Their plans were ruined. Peter, we know about Peter in the Easter story. Jesus told him, you're going to betray me. You're going to walk away. And 3 times he denied Christ. So now here's Peter completely broken and confused, Now they're wanted men. They're hiding from the Pharisees. They're wondering what is next. And they felt what many of us feel right now: anxiety, loss, grief, worry, fear, confusion. And then you had the religious leaders of the day who were the ones leading the charge to arrest Jesus, to try to get rid of him, because he was an annoyance to their religion. He was an annoyance to what they believed. And they wanted him to be gone. And so they were controlling what the news was out to the Jews, right? They were controlling what people were hearing, and they were trying to get rid of Jesus. And so they controlled all the situations they possibly could, from him hanging on the cross, to being put in the tomb, to guards now guarding the tomb with a large 2-ton stone rolled in front so nobody could steal the body of Jesus and nobody could ruin their plan. So they thought Jesus is dead, their annoyance would disappear, and they get to go back to their normal religion. And so they were spreading lies and confusion that even the disciples were believing and not knowing what to do. Does this sound like today? I need you to know the Bible is relevant. The Bible's real. And it connects with what's going on right now. See, the lies were, it's over. Jesus is dead. He's gone. The disciples probably felt like they failed. What they felt was hopelessness or fear, confused. But we get into this story, we need to understand that there was something true, right? There was something real going on that they weren't ready for. And so we jump now into the story in Luke 24, and we're going to read what happened as they were experiencing all these emotions, as they were going through all these things in their life. In Luke chapter 24, so I would say, if you're with me in Luke 24, honk your horns. If you're with me online, say yep, and we'll read this together. All right, so this is what it says, starting in verse 1 of chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, when they say very early in the morning, they mean like really early in the morning, like between 3 and 5 a.m., somewhere in there. They were going to the tomb. It was still dark. And they were taking these spices, which they had already prepared to finish what they had started, to prepare Jesus' body for the burial. And so they couldn't do it the day before. They couldn't do it during the Sabbath. And so now they're showing up. I'm assuming that none of them slept well that night, as they were full of all sorts of emotions going on, wondering what was next and wondering what they needed to do next. And so they went to the tomb. Verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Amen. Remember. It says, remember how he told you. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then in verse 8, it says, then they remembered his words. See, Jesus had been telling them the whole time what was true. The whole time he was preparing them for what was going to be real and what was really going to go on. And even with them knowing, even with Jesus preparing them, they did not fully know. They weren't ready for it. They were caught off guard. See, when they were going to the tomb, they were going to see a dead body. All the disciples were not like huddled around and have a grandstand ready. Oh, here he comes. Here he's coming out of the tomb. None of them were there. They didn't expect it. They were waiting and huddled together, fearful. And so when this happened, when these women were there and they experienced this angels coming and saying, why are you looking for the dead? He's alive. He's not here. It's like their eyes got opened and finally they remembered all that Jesus said. Then they remembered his words. Now, let me do a little side note here for a second. I think this passage right here, verse 8, is such a key passage for us to understand. even the people who were following Jesus in person and listening to the words he taught still didn't get all of it. They still needed to be around somebody who could remind them of what was said and remind them of the truth. That's why church exists. That's why it matters for us to belong to a body. No matter what church you belong to, I hope that you're plugged into the church you belong to and that you're around people who can help you learn and grow and be reminded of what the Bible says. Be reminded of what God says. Because there will be those moments in our life where we have just like these women at the tomb. Then they remembered his words. That's why we gather together, to be reminded, to remember these words and to remember what Scripture says. See, what they felt and what was bringing lies and confusion, there was the third thing, which is what was true. What was the truth? Jesus is alive. Amen? That's the truth. Now, in this moment, the thing is, though, these ladies, even though they knew it now, it was true. They believed it. They ran back to the disciples who were huddled around, and they went to tell them, hey, this is what happened. We went to the tomb, and it was empty. The body wasn't there. The angels, and they're talking to the disciples. And do you think right then the disciples are like, woohoo, and they ran, right? Well, two of them ran. But all of them were like, I don't think you're telling the truth. I don't believe that happened. And they were still not buying in to what was actually true. Actually, in this version in Luke 24, Peter runs as fast as he can to the tomb, and he sees, and he sees that the tomb is empty, and he then wondered about what had happened. He hadn't fully believed yet what was going on. See, the truth is that Jesus is alive. It's interesting, the next part of that chapter, I'm not going to read it this morning. We see Jesus shows up to two of the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and he's having a conversation with them, and they don't even realize it's Jesus. Their eyes have been blinded to who Jesus was in that moment. And Jesus goes through and he explains to them all of the Old Testament and all through how the prophecies of the Messiah and what was going to happen, what had to happen. And he was teaching them and reminding them everything he had already told them. And there's this moment at the very end in that scene where their eyes are open. Their hearts had been burning as Jesus had been teaching. They're like, they realize who was with them, and immediately Jesus disappears from their presence. Like, that was Jesus. And they run back to the disciples. And then we get to the end of the chapter here in Luke 24. Starting in verse 44, we see now Jesus is now appearing in person in the room with his disciples. He's trying to help them to deal with what they feel, the things that are bringing lies and confusion to them, so that they can really understand what is real. All right, verse 44, Jesus is speaking, and it says this. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses. You are the witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you to what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." He's preparing them for the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus ascended to heaven, and the Father promised the Holy Spirit's presence with all of Christ's followers, all of his people, God's presence with us. Not just God in physical form in one place and one location, but now the Holy Spirit spread and present inside of us. And so he's telling them, just wait, wait. But he's given them the truth. He's speaking truth. He's speaking scripture over them. Whenever I see Jesus quote scripture, it helps me know that Jesus believed the whole Old Testament was the whole Old Testament, and it was the Word of God. And that when we read the scripture, we proclaim what Jesus proclaimed. All the messianic prophecies throughout the whole Old Testament fulfilled in one person, Jesus. Jesus Christ. He is bringing them and speaking truth so that they can understand what is to come next. Why? Because the witness is going to come, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all the nations, meaning a new message has come. the Messiah has shown up and he has brought salvation, forgiveness to all the nations. In that day, it was just the Jews who thought they had the corner on God. And now Jesus is like, nope, it's everybody. All nations, all tongues, all tribes, all colors can be present and have a relationship with our Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross paid for our forgiveness of our sins. We did not have to pay for our own sins on the cross. We should have. He said, no, I'm doing it so that they can repent and be forgiven, all nations. Let's keep reading in verse 51. Then it says, while he was blessing them, or verse 50, when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hand and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. In verse 52, it says, then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with what? With great joy. Their feelings had changed quite a bit in the midst of one conversation with Jesus, didn't it? They went from the emotion of fear and loss and confusion and lies to now truth. Jesus is alive, and now he's brought salvation to every nation. And now they're full of joy, and now they're praising God, and now they're continually, it says in verse 53, stayed in the temple praising God. Things had changed when they found out what was true, what was true. You probably heard this passage. Jesus is the one that said it. It's not just a bumper sticker quote. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said that in John 8:32. Then you will know the truth. That's what truth does. It brings freedom from false lies and confusion, freedom from feelings and emotions that take us down dangerous paths. It leads us into freedom. And the truth of Jesus being alive brings us eternal and forever freedom. In John 14, we see this as he's talking to his disciples. He was preparing them for when he was going to leave in John 14. He was letting them know, hey, there's going to be a time I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to be making some mansions in heaven. I'm making some room for you. And Thomas, poor Thomas gets a bad rap as doubting Thomas. But Thomas said, but we don't know where that is. It says in verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? In verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus was proclaiming to them before he died on the cross that he was the truth. His death, burial, and resurrection brought the truth. And that now we have freedom from death, from sin, because of the truth. That is what the gospel does. That is what Jesus does. He brings us from death to life. And the dead things in our life can be resurrected by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he does. Jesus can resurrect the dead parts of your heart and bring you new life. He can take fear, anxiety, worry, confusion, and loss, and it can be erased and replaced with God's hope and love through forgiveness of your sins. You can have eternal life, and you can have a life that's good here now that God promised to give you both. And in that promise, when we walk into his promises, we experience some good things in this life. It's a bit of heaven brought to this world as we bring others from this world to heaven with us. That's what he did. That is what the gospel is. And that's what we need to experience in this season that all of us are experiencing. The pandemic that brings confusion, lies, and fear, and worry, and all these things. We can be set free from those things. And we can experience freedom in our souls, in our life, in our spirit. And God can give that to you this morning. See, the truth is Jesus is alive, and the truth will set you free. And the fact of the matter is Jesus is the only one that has ever conquered death and resurrected for our salvation. See, that's the whole gospel. See, God knew that we could not be perfect enough to climb the ladder to perfection to make our way to heaven. Can't happen. All of us are sinners. All of us will fail in that attempt. We can't make it on our own. You can try your best, and you look at all the other world religions, they'll say, do this and do that, and it's a works salvation. Work your way up, and so that when you die, hopefully you've reached to that point where you will make it to nirvana or heaven or eternity or whatever it might be. The reality is none of us can get there. And all the leaders of all those other religions, you can go to their gravesite and see their bones today. There's only one empty tomb, and it's Jesus's. Because he is alive. He is alive. It's interesting. I was reading a story about an African man who grew up Muslim. And he met Jesus. And all of his friends who were Muslims were starting to harass him. And they were asking him, what in the world? Why did you become a Christian? And he was telling them, he said, listen, imagine you're walking on a road. And as you're walking on that road, all of a sudden there's a split in the road and there's two different directions. And when you get to that split, all of a sudden you see two men. And these men are standing there. And one of them is dead. And one of them is alive. Which one are you going to ask for directions from? He said, I choose Jesus because he's alive. And he's given me the direction because he paid the price for my sin. I couldn't climb the ladder to get there. God sent Jesus down the ladder to get me. And he paid for my sin on the cross. And he ascended back to heaven and made a way for me to be made right, to be forgiven of my sins, to be righteous before God. And so I choose that path. This morning, I wonder what path you've chosen. In this season of fear, of worry, of anxiety, I wonder what path you're choosing. I want to say there's a better path. It's the one with the Savior who is alive. And it's the one with the Savior that wants to have a relationship with you personally. A God who isn't off and distant that we can't be known by or we can't know. He is with us and present and knows you and knows exactly what you're going through today. What you went through yesterday and what you'll go through to tomorrow. He knows, and he wants to be with you through it. If you're struggling with what you feel, if you struggle with what brings lies and confusion, I'm telling you, there is a truth that is real. Jesus is here. And today, the whole point of Easter, the whole reason we believe as Christians and why we gather on today, because we have a risen Savior. The reason we talk about this is because of the gospel, the good news that you can be saved. It says this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. We've read this before. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the whole point. We don't serve a dead Savior. He raised him from the dead. You will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith, and you are saved. Today, we are all going to respond. This is what I want you to do right now. Everybody grab your phone, okay? All of you here, all of you who are joining us on Facebook and on YouTube, live streaming, grab your phone right now, and I want you to go to mynewhope.tv/connect. If you're on our New Hope app, you can just click the connect card on our New Hope app. But all of us here today, because the reality is with Jesus, there is no non-response. And I'm going to lead us through this morning four responses you can have to what Jesus has done for us. And so if you can see on that connect card, there is an A, B, C, and D on that connect card. My prayer is that you will be real and honest with what you need and where you are with God. I'm praying that you'll choose the path with the man who is alive that points the way to God. And you're going to see these responses, and all of us can respond in one of these four ways. If you mark A on that connect card, it means you're saying, I have a real relationship with Jesus. You're making the proclamation, I have Jesus in my heart. I've made that commitment, and I've confessed with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. If that's you, mark A this morning. Maybe today is your day and you want this Jesus in your life. You want to move from death to life. You can accept him in your life today. I'm going to lead you in something in a moment to do that. But if you want to take that step, I want you to mark B. I want you to say, today, I'm accepting this Jesus. I know I've tried to climb the ladder. I can't make it on my own. I need Jesus to save me. If that's you, mark B this morning. And maybe you're going to be honest and C. And mark C. And C says this, Tim, Pastor Tim, I'm not ready yet. I'm just not there. I hear what you're saying. I hear that there's a God who loves me, and I hear you talking about Jesus, but I'm just not ready yet. But I want to learn more. I want to hear more. If that's you, be honest. Mark C. Mark C on that Connect card. And those of you who just want to get really blunt and honest and say, do you know what? I'm just here because I got invited, or I got dragged along in a car, or I'm sitting with somebody online, and this really doesn't matter to me, Tim. Then mark D. Say, Tim, I do not plan on making a decision about this. And that's fine. Just be real with where you're at. What I'm saying, though, is there's no non-response to Jesus. We look in the gospel story. There were those that walked away because they didn't get their way with God. There were those that were curious, but they kind of stayed on the outside to see what this Christianity stuff was about. And then there were those who followed Jesus. And here's what I need you to understand with the disciples. They didn't start this whole church thing. Christianity didn't start because of what they believed. It's not about a belief. That's what all religion is about, belief. See, these disciples, they changed the world because of what they saw. A risen Savior. See, they weren't planning on the risen Savior. They saw him and it changed everything. And for you, I'm praying that you will see Jesus in your life and in your heart today. Today, if you want to accept Jesus, I'm going to pray, and you can pray with me. I always say at New Hope, there's no magical prayer of the pastor, by the way. It's not like I prayed what he said, and I'm going to heaven. That's not how it works. It is your own belief in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and your own confession of your mouth that he is your Lord, your own confession that will save you. And so all of us, I want to take a moment to pray and a moment of response. And if that's you, if you're marking B, you can pray with me right in your car. And you can ask him to enter in and you can be free from worry. I'm telling you, every single person I've known who's taken that step, a peace comes upon them. God enters into their life in a way they're like, I have no idea what happened there. And it's God's presence with you. And so those of you online, if you're joining us, you can pray this as well, wherever you are. Would you guys pray with me? You can say this. Say, God, I believe that Jesus is your son, that he died on the cross to pay for my sin, and that he didn't stay in the tomb, but he rose again. I pray, God, that you would forgive me of all my sins. I pray that you would make me new, that you would clean me out, that you'd give me peace that only comes from you. I want to be yours. I want to be saved. For now and for eternity, I want to be with you. And so I repent for my sin, which means I'm turning from my sin and I'm turning towards you, God. Enter into my life and into my heart. And give me your Holy Spirit. And I just ask this in Jesus' name alone, I pray. Amen. And God, for all of us here this morning, those that marked A, I pray that you would just put an assurance in their hearts that their salvation is for sure. And then they know you and that you're with them. I pray for those at Mark C that are curious right now, that you would open their eyes just like you did with the disciples, just like you did with the women at the tomb, that you would open their eyes so they could see spiritually what is going on and what is real. Show yourself to them. And those that Mark D that said, I just don't want any of this, God, I pray that you just give them a soft heart and life and that you would show yourself to them too. Thank you for being real. Thank you for being present. And thank you for being with us this morning, God. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you say amen, honk your horns with me. Those of you, amen. And those this morning, if you marked B, I'm going to send you information today to help you start your journey. It's a reading plan on a Bible app called YouVersion. You can go to mynewhope.tv/start, and you can start learning and growing and seeing these words that God has brought us. So thank you guys for joining us this morning.